Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. When St. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he dealt with numerous sins that the people were committing and errors that had crept into the church, and he even had to deal with outright heresy. Like all congregations, that congregation at Corinth was filled with sinners. And like all God's people, they needed to be shepherded. They needed to be guided and corrected. They needed the law and the gospel, ultimately, so that they would be forgiven. Whenever we venture out on our own spiritual journey, such as the people were trying to do in Jeremiah's day, in Paul's day at Corinth, in our Lord's day, as we heard in our gospel, those journeys that we embark on, if we do our own spiritual journey, they will never end well, for they are guided by not the sacred scriptures, but they are guided by our own sinful flesh and the thinking and thought of the world. The Corinthian church was deeply divided by the various viewpoints that had entered into the congregation. That congregation, it was particularly susceptible because it was a seaport town, and so you had people from all walks of life passing through that particular city. Now, in Jeremiah's day, so we back up hundreds of years, many were following the path that suited their own selves. Refusing to listen to the prophets whom God sent, many found for themselves false prophets who said what they want to hear. You heard our passage from Jeremiah. You heard that Jeremiah was commanded by God to say the very words that Jeremiah spoke. And you also heard that Jeremiah is called on by God to warn the people so that they do not listen to all these other people who are saying what the people wanted to hear. You had these people who said, that destruction that Jeremiah is talking about, that's not going to happen. After all, this is the temple of the Lord. This is the temple of the Lord. This is the temple of the Lord. You have in your midst the very temple. God's not going to let any harm come upon it, so go on, do what you feel is right, do what's right in your eyes, do what you want to do, and all will be good. Jeremiah also wrote that the people stole, they murdered, committed adultery, swore falsely, made offerings to Baal, went after other gods, and then they even had the boldness to come before the one true God saying, "We are delivered." And then they had no intention to turn from their sinful ways. Do we not see this today, where people are doing what they do, what they figure is right in their own eyes, they're engaging in their pent sins, they're reasoning with themselves, we are delivered, we're forgiven by God, I can do what I want, oh well, it doesn't matter, forgiveness belongs to me. And they keep on doing what they're doing. For such self-security and shameless sin, God destroyed Jerusalem in Jeremiah's day, and most of its inhabitants were deported into foreign lands. God gave them their warning when they entered into the promised land. He said, these things will happen if you do not follow the way of God. God continually raised up prophets to guide them into the way of the truth, but yet they refused to listen. And so, hearing the prophets and then reasoning among themselves, they figured that what the true prophets said, God would never do. In our day, people are still reasoning that God will bless those who continue in their unrepentant sin, that he will overlook those who believe falsely or get caught up in immoral living. In essence, many have fallen into Satan's snare, figuring that all roads lead to heaven. Whenever that becomes common thought, God's mercy is manifested in bringing about widespread devastation, for such temporal suffering can bring many back to the Lord and to the way of truth. And it is, of course, much easier to endure temporal punishment than an eternity in hell. That is why God did what he did in Jeremiah's day. That's why God also did, 40 years after Jesus ascended into heaven, brought about the destruction of Jerusalem yet again. We heard Jesus prophesy of this in today's gospel. He weeps over the city of Jerusalem. This is on Palm Sunday. He weeps because the people had rejected Christ and his word, the very things that had made for his peace. He weeps knowing that the destruction of this holy city will be coming in just 40 years. When that destruction happened, as Jesus had prophesied, there truly was no stone left upon another. The temple was permanently destroyed. Countless souls perished as the Romans besieged the city of Jerusalem. This happened because they had turned God's house of prayer into a den of robbers, and the church leaders were seeking to destroy the very Lord of life, the Son of God, the promised Messiah. Yet, as we hear, as Luke reports in today's gospel, there still were many who were clinging to the word of Christ. And as we also know, there were many who also listened to the word of Jeremiah. Many heeded the preaching and the writing of St. Paul in the Corinthian church. And we rejoice that many are heeding and listening to the word of God today. That is most likely why you are here, to hear the word of God, receive the forgiveness of sins earned by our Lord Jesus Christ, and to receive as a free gift that eternal blessing of salvation. In our epistle reading this morning, St. Paul addresses spiritual gifts. Began my sermon by pointing out that when Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he had to address a whole bunch of different errors and false practices and beliefs that crept into the church. Now, when Paul takes up this topic of spiritual gifts, we only hear 11 verses. This topic actually spans 84 verses in three chapters, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. He spends so much time on this important issue because he does not want them, as he tells us in our epistle, to be uninformed. For previously, they had been led astray by false gods. He says, mute gods, gods that do not speak. Whenever people fabricate gods, whenever the world invents yet another religion, what they have are gods that are mute, gods which do not speak. And Paul is pointing out a great miracle that is happening among the Corinthians. Despite all their warts and wrinkles, despite all their flaws, despite all the problems that are going on in that church, Paul is pointing out that God, the Holy Spirit, is at work. God is speaking. He is not a mute God, but he speaks. He declares his word of truth, word which is written in the sacred scriptures, word which is proclaimed by the ministers whom God sends, words which are proclaimed and enter into your ears. And through that, the Holy Spirit is at work. He is working faith in you. And that is a great miracle, that God is turning hearts of stone into hearts that have living and active faith, hearts which trust in Christ and receive the forgiveness of sins which Jesus has earned on the cross. Not only is that a great miracle, but it is a great blessing. One problem facing many in the Corinthian church was this lack of faith. For some denied the very resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Others were denying how Christ is present in the Lord's Supper. And another problem facing many was their misguided emphasis on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, this section that I, that Paul now begins in 1 Corinthians 12 and continues for the following two chapters. You see, during the time in which the apostles lived, the apostles traveled and they preached the kingdom of God. And as the people came to faith in Jesus Christ by the working of the Holy Spirit through this proclamation of the word, the apostles then laid their hands on some of the Christians, which then gave specific spiritual gifts to those Christians. The Holy Spirit gave them individually as he wills, as we heard in our reading. Now, some of those spiritual gifts are outlined in our epistle reading, and I'll mention some of them later. It was an honor, of course, to receive those spiritual gifts. But these gifts were not to be used for self-gain or for the benefit of the individual, but as Paul points out, they're to be used for the benefit of the body of Christ, that is, for the entire congregation. They were to serve as signs to confirm that the word of God, which was being preached by the apostles and pastors, is actually true. And these gifts were to aid in building up the body of Christ, that is, the believers. And they were to show the skeptics that the word which they were proclaiming, the Christian faith, is true and real, which comes from God himself. But in the church at Corinth, there was a big problem. Those who had received the spiritual gift of speaking in tongues were putting others down. And those who did not have the gift of speaking in tongues felt like that they were inferior to those who did have the spiritual gift of speaking in tongues. So those who had the spiritual gift of speaking in tongues were not using the gift of the Spirit in the right way, but instead they felt that they were better than everyone else. Now, God did give others other gifts, such as interpreting tongues, or healing, or performing miracles, or prophesying. And yet, those who had those gifts were being put down by those who spoke in tongues. So what God intended for good now is being used for evil in that church. St. Paul not only condemns their sin, but also he explains why this is so bad. First, the same Spirit gives various gifts as he chooses. Second, God is one, and he empowers people to have these gifts so that his church can work not as individuals, but his church can work together. And then third, he illustrates this by giving an illustration of the body, the human body, which actually comes right after our epistle reading. What Paul does is he explains how the foot and the hand serve very different functions, but they are on the very same body, and so both, even though they have different uses, are both needed. You can say the same with the eye and with the ear. Both are needed. Both are necessary. Now, one may look better. It's far more pleasant to look at a person's eye than to stare into a person's ear. But yet both are good and needed. In fact, all members of the human body are needed. And in the same manner, Christians with different gifts contribute to the congregation according to their abilities. All members of the body, all members of the Christian body, the congregation, are necessary. Now, the spiritual gifts that Paul is speaking about were something that only occurred during the time of the apostles. Remember, they were distributed by the apostles through the laying on of the hands on the people. God, the Holy Spirit, worked these gifts through the means of the apostles, or gave these gifts through the means of the apostles. The spiritual gifts of healing, speaking unlearned things, prophesying in the future, speaking in tongues and interpreting tongues were all gifts given during that era of the apostles, and they're no longer granted by God to Christians. While there are churches today which exist to emphasize these various spiritual gifts, especially the one on speaking in tongues, those churches that do that are a rather recent phenomenon. It's only been about the last 125 years in which churches have claimed to have these spiritual gifts. Does that mean that the Holy Spirit was gone from about the year 100 until around the year 1900 in the Christian church? Certainly not. God, the Holy Spirit, was at work by the means by which he chose to be at work, and that is through the Word and through the sacraments. In fact, as St. Paul continued to address the Corinthians concerning this matter, he demonstrated the folly for those who thought that speaking in tongues was superior than all other gifts by doing this in chapter 13. What he did in chapter 13 is he pointed out that these spiritual gifts will cease when that which is perfect has come. And we have that which is perfect, the inscripturated word, the Holy Bible, that written word of God. And so Paul concludes that chapter by saying, what remains are faith, hope, and love. So one takeaway that I want you to have this morning is that those who emphasize speaking in tongues today as some manifestation of the Holy Spirit are actually false teachers. They don't emphasize the interpretation of tongues. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14 that he would rather have spoken a few words with understanding than thousands of words without understanding. And so if people are just proclaiming things in words that nobody can understand, there's no point to it. And also those Christian preachers that you see on TV who claim to perform miracles are false teachers. If they can perform those great miracles that they're claiming to doing, why haven't they stopped COVID-19? Why haven't they stopped people from suffering from cancer? So while God the Holy Spirit no longer promises to grant these spiritual gifts mentioned in today's epistle, God does still give talents and abilities to each and every person who make up the body of Christ, each person in the congregation. God would have it that we use our abilities for the betterment of others, in particular in loving service toward our neighbor. For as we serve our neighbor, we are serving God. As we perform our various vocations in life, we are in service not only to our neighbor, but also we are serving God. We do these things not to gain God's favor, but we do them because we already have gained God's favor. We don't have God's favor from what we have done, but we have his favor from what Christ has done for us. For the Father sent his only begotten Son into this world, and Jesus lived a perfect life as a human being, going to the cross, bearing our sin and the sin of the entire world. He shed his innocent blood to make the ransom payment necessary for our sin. He rose from the grave to secure our everlasting life and salvation so that we can be confident that we too shall live forever in him. And he sends his Spirit then to guide us into the way of truth. There are many churches out there who want to place a greater emphasis on the person and work of the Holy Spirit. That's a reason why some want to recover the spiritual gifts mentioned here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And while that may seem nice, it is a misguided thought. You see, the Holy Spirit's task is not to direct us back to the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit's task is to fix our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of our faith. And so the Holy Spirit is at work through the Word of God, which includes scripture, preaching, teaching, even the liturgy and hymnody. The Holy Spirit has also worked through the absolution, through holy baptism, through the Lord's Supper. And what the Holy Spirit is doing in all of this is reminding us who our Savior is, Jesus, and showing us the way of salvation, which is found in Jesus. For Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We come to the Father through Jesus. The gifts of Christ are then given to us through these means of word and sacrament by the Holy Spirit. And so you can take heart in knowing that the Holy Spirit is actively working in you, and he is working within this congregation, for these means of grace are being presented and offered. And the great miracle of faith is still being worked by the Holy Spirit. Remember, Paul pointed out that this conversion that they had received, this working of the Holy Spirit, was far greater than any of these spiritual gifts which the people had. And that work is still being done today. Remember, St. Paul emphasized faith as a greater miracle. And it is written in Hebrews 1, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For faith clings to that word and message of Christ alone, for he alone paid for our sin. Today's gospel, as I mentioned, takes place on Palm Sunday when Jesus rides into Jerusalem on a donkey. He goes into the holy city to bear the world's sin in his own body. He rides into Jerusalem to die. He sheds his innocent blood on our behalf to serve as that sacrificial lamb who can truly take away the sin of the entire world. And God, the Holy Spirit, now works faith in us, faith which clings to Christ and which receives the forgiveness of sins which Jesus earned for us on the cross. There are times in your life where you may be desiring, longing for a stronger faith. If that is the case, do not look within yourself, but instead trust that the Holy Spirit will work that faith in you. As you hear the word of God, meditating on it daily, hearing this word in the divine service, attending Bible class, going to the sacrament. For through these means, God is directing you to Jesus, and God, the Holy Spirit, continues to do his miraculous work of working faith in you. It is through faith in which clings to Christ that you are saved, not faith which clings to yourself. And so remember that Jesus is the one who died for you. The Holy Spirit is working faith in you through the Word. And in this, you have life and you have salvation. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.